Amen. Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. So the amen lets me know that you can hear me. That's fantastic. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Is God good?
Yes.
Yeah, you see, now well schooled. You see, these are churched people. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Beautiful worship. Absolutely phenomenal worship. Thank you so much to the worship team. Amen. We were actually band practicing that song, if that's an actual phrase, last night at Pastor Tracy's house, Pastor Tracy and Pastor Paul. So we were actually practicing the very same song, King of Glory, last night. You see how God works. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. If by any chance you don't know who I am, my name is Stuart Bishop. I'm married to one wife so far. she's more than enough for me. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've got two boys, Matthew and Jude. You'll hear me speak, no doubt about it, especially about Jude. Just because he is such a big personality. Really lights up my life. So you'll hear me speaking about him. Unfortunately, all of them are in KZN at the moment. So they traveled yesterday. I'd have loved you guys to actually see who is this Jude? Who is this little guy? Right? But I'm really hoping that the next time that I'm here, first of all, that you guys invite me back. Yeah, woo! Hallelujah! And that the next time that I'm here, that you guys get to see Matthew and Jude and Sally Ann. Okay? That'd be fantastic. Awesome. So I'm going to dive right in. As Pastor Mike has already said, first of all, thank you, Pastor Mike. Thank you, Pastor Fadzai. But as Pastor Mike has already indicated, from here, I'm going to dash over to Highveld, get behind the drums there, and then minister there. So it's a jam-packed session for me this morning. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. So the title of my message is I Choose Jesus. I Choose Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. And you know, when I was thinking about this message, I began to realize that, you know what, when it comes to you choosing to serve Jesus, when it comes to you choosing to make him your Lord and your personal Savior, it's a decision that you have to make. I can't make it for you. I mean, I'd love to go around, you know, roaming through the streets and making decisions for people. My brother, I now declare that I've decided for you that you will follow Jesus. Hallelujah. My sister, I see you struggling with sin, but I've decided that from this day forth, you are following Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Now, I can say the words, and there's probably some value in me saying the words. I'm probably sowing something in faith, but ultimately, that brother or that sister individually has to make that decision. You can't choose to follow Jesus by proxy, right? So in our company, we've got a proxy appointed for all traffic fines. I pity that poor woman, because basically what it means is all the company cars throughout our business, whoever picks up fines, so as the employees are speeding and not stopping at stop signs and all the rest of it, as those fines and those traffic offenses build up and build up, they build up on her name. She is the proxy for traffic fines. I don't know why she ever agreed to have that part of a job description. But the problem is whenever the traffic cops then stop her, our fauna and flora police, and say, Sissy, come this side. And then when they actually check, literally hundreds of fines pop up under her name. Why? Because she's the proxy. So she stands on behalf of every other employee who's done something wrong with their company vehicle. Now, I can't stand proxy for you when it comes to your decision to follow Jesus. You've got to make that decision yourself. You've got to make that decision to choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I'm making my only option. I'm not interested whether I'm not making a plan B. I'm not making a plan C. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus is my plan A. He's my first, he's my last, he's my everything. Hallelujah. I hope you're not old enough to remember that. That's not actually a Christian song, but nevertheless, hallelujah. Amen. You get the message. You guys get the message. By the way, this is going to be like a really, you can relax. You can just relax in his presence. Amen. You know, the one thing that really The one myth I like defunking is that, you know, there's always this myth, or at least that's the way that it's been told to me. You know, Christians are boring and they don't have fun, you know, and they're all stuck up and, you know, oh, you don't want to even go to that church. The sisters don't greet you. Not this church. I'm saying the other churches, you know, where the sisters, when you walk in and the sisters don't greet, guys, not this church. I'm saying the other one. Right. Okay. Amen. So as I go through this message, please, I'm already feeling your vibe. I can feel that you guys are really into it. But if at any point in time you can't muster up an amen, an ana will also do. Remember, we South Africans, right? So you can even throw an ana in there. You know why? It confirms that the word has picked you on that particular aspect. So you can say, ana. I couldn't give you an amen, but ana. Ana, it's okay. It's in Proverbs somewhere. Don't worry. We will speak about it afterwards, but it's okay. It's an acknowledgement that what's coming from the pulpit is actually touched you in some way. Amen. And it will get muddled up amongst the amen, so no one will know that you actually said ana. But I'll feel good because I'll feel your vibe. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. No, we're moving in the right direction. So without any further ado, I want to take you on a quick journey. I want you to just imagine with me. Just use your imagination. Amen. We serve a creative God, right? So I want you to just use your imagination for a moment. Here you are, and it's actually kind of nice that you guys have set the seating up in this way, right? Because what I want you to imagine is you are in an examination room. You're about to take an exam. Now, for those of you who have some traumatic experiences around that, Pastor Michael is available for counseling immediately after the service. But for now, it's not a matric exam, right? It's some other type of examination. And so here you are, you've seated yourself as you are right now. And the invigilator or the exam moderator has given out all of the exams, all of the exam scripts, right? You've got your pencil, it's sharpened, you're ready to go. You with me? Right. Now you turn your exam paper over and you have a look. Your eyes zoom in on question one. First of all, you realize that it's a multiple choice. So you're like, yes, surely at least if I answer C for everything, then I know I'm going to hit that 50%, right? So it's a multiple choice question paper, right? And you turn it over and you see question one. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? Question one. Options in terms of answers. Option A, Jesus the Christ. Option B, Jesus the Messiah. Option C, Jesus the only begotten of the Father. Interesting. Question two, who will never leave you and never forsake you? Here's your answers. Option A, Jesus the Prince of Peace. Option B, Jesus Christ Emmanuel, God with us. And yes, you guessed it, option C, Jesus Christ, our ever-present help in the time of trouble. How fantastic would it be if you had to answer that question paper and every single option that you're given, the only option that you're given, whether you look at option A, option B, or option C, the answer is always Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. Hallelujah. No matter what the question, no matter how difficult it might look or seem, because remember, some of us, we confuse like Noah with Moses. And I mean, I know it gets tricky, especially around numbers, right? Even me, I'm like, whoa, wait, can we go to Psalms, right? But imagine if the question paper that you are answering, every single answer, the only option was Jesus. Now, I'm probably going to date myself, but it's fine. I'm approaching 40, so it's okay. I'm at that point where I don't care anymore, right? If you know how old I am. But 25 years ago, a gentleman by the name of Andre Crouch sang a simple but powerful song. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the... Pastor Mike... Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah, Jesus. 25 years ago. Fast forward 25 years into the future. In other words, the present day. And you still hear Shadi singing songs like Jesus at the center of it all. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you are the center, and every single thing revolves around you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm not going to sing that one. You see, as we grow up, there's lots of things that influence us. We get messages from all over the show, from pop culture, from social media, from friends and family, from school, from our schooling setups, from our teachers, and all sorts of, there's all sorts of external influences that send us all sorts of messages, all sorts of narratives. And one of the narratives that you and I receive as we grow up is a narrative that says you need to keep your options open. Keep your options open. You know, don't be so quick to focus or zoom in on one thing. Don't only have one option. Keep your options open. You hear people say, or rather you really hear people say, very rarely do you hear people say, the only way to do this is this way. And if you don't do it any other way, you're going to end up in a problem. There's no other option, brother. This is the way. I'm letting you know. If you veer off track, if you choose another way, you're going to fail. The only way to success, this is the only way. Very rarely do you hear people speak like that, right? It's always, the message is always keep your options open. Don't, the only way to get from point A to point B is to follow this specific route. That's the only route you can, if you follow any other route, if you try to take a shortcut, you're going to end up in a problem. You're going to get stuck. This is the route to follow. When you and I are going to some destination that we're not familiar with, right? What do most of us do? We switch on our GPS, right? And we punch in the coordinates, whatever the address is. And then inevitably, whether it's Siri or whoever it might be, she then gives you she gives you a list of options, right? She'll say to you, would you like to take the fastest route? Nah, I don't really want to take the fastest. Would you like the route that's got the least amount of traffic? Yeah, that one sounds good. What else you got for me, Siri? Well, would you like to take the one that doesn't have any e-tolls? Oh, yes. Yes, Siri, let's go with option C. Let's take the route without any e-tolls because we are tired in Katela with e-tolls, right? Interestingly, I've never ever heard Siri or whoever that American woman is that speaks on the Garmin. I've never ever heard any of them say, would you like to take the toughest route? The one that will develop your character? The one that will be full of potholes and snares? The one that will require you to fully rely on Jesus to get you to your destination? This route will require roadside assistance. You will experience breakdowns and you will often need someone else stronger than you to carry you the rest of the way. This route is the least traveled route. In other words, it's not popular. And by the way, the road is narrow. And when you are on that road, you won't find many other travelers on that road. However, it's a route and a road that leads to eternal life. Sign me up for that GPS. Hallelujah. We're getting somewhere. That was my intro. Now to point number one. Choose the right way. Choose the right way. Please, guys. Everything about this message is about the choice that we have to make. We have to choose the right way. People are dying out there because they're making the wrong choice. John chapter 14, verse 5 to verse 6. Reading from the New King James Version. Thomas said to him being Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Right? Jesus had just spoken to his disciples and he just said to them, guys, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Right? And Thomas's response, brother Thomas, his response is, but Lord, we don't even know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way. What are you talking about, Thomas? Have you not been walking with me for the past 3 years? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except he comes through me. What do you mean you don't know the way? I am the way. You see, I love the authority and the conviction in Jesus' words. I tend to believe that when he spoke these words, he was not being timid or shy or apologetic as he spoke. He was speaking with authority. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody's going to get to daddy. No one's going to get to Father God unless they come through me. I'm the door. I'm the way. If it was me, I might have been a bit more diplomatic. I think I would have been a bit less direct than Jesus was, right? But not Jesus. You see, he wasn't trying to be diplomatic. He was declaring the truth. He was speaking the truth concerning who he was, concerning who Jesus is. You see, you don't need, and you can note this down if you're taking notes, you do not need to apologize for speaking the truth in love. You do not need to apologize for speaking the truth in love. You do not need to shy away from speaking the truth contained in God's word. Please don't shy away from speaking the truth that's contained in God's word. You see, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. In case you don't know, people are dying out there. Unbelievers are dying out there. And when they die, when they leave this physical plane, they are heading to a lost eternity. To put it plainly, people are going to hell. You see, when I was doing my grade 8, what I used to call standard 6, again, I'm sort of giving away where I'm at, right? So when I was doing my standard 6, I lived in a place called Durban, right? Specifically Wentworth, and I lived with my uncle and my aunt. Uncle Walter. I'll never forget Uncle Walter. Uncle Walter was a giant of a man, and he still is. He was a mountain of a man. Physically big, strong, tough, a real... If you were to take a heavyweight boxer and a construction worker, and yes, he worked in the construction industry, but if you were to combine a heavyweight boxer and a construction worker and put them together, and this person loves Jesus, that was Uncle Walter. Right? That's the man he was. And you see, the thing about Uncle Walter, he was very uncompromising. Uncompromising. You know, it was his way or the highway. And his way was according to what he found in God's word. And by the way, he wasn't interested whether it was written in, he didn't want to know what it meant in Greek, and he didn't want to know what it meant in Hebrew. He took God's word as he read it and he applied it. Literally. And for him, there was no gray area. You know how we as Christians, we like to debate certain topics. Homosexuality. Yeah, you see, Jesus loves us all. And Uncle Wally, Uncle Walter, there were no gray areas. He took God's word and he applied it. And there was no compromise. And I love that about him. I absolutely love that about him. You see, I tend to think that we've become so flexible, Pastor Michael, as a church, as believers. I tend to think that we've become so flexible, so accommodating, so understanding, and so tolerable that we simply do not want to say or do anything to offend anyone. No one must be offended. They mustn't come to the house of the Lord lest they be offended. Hello? The Holy Spirit's convicting that person you worried about not offending them. Let's I'm going to go there. I was waiting for permission. So now I'm going to go there. Jesus is the only way out of some people's dilemma. But because we don't want to offend them, because we don't want to tell our favorite aunt, Or that grandmother who we have so much respect and reverence for, because she's been the matriarch in the family. She's really held everything together. And who are you, because you are so young, who are you to go to her and tell her, Mama, you need Jesus. There's no other way out of the situation for you. You need Jesus. He's the answer for your situation. He's the answer for your dilemma. No, we'd rather, as Uncle Walter used to say, he'd say to me, my boy, do you want to massage people into hell or do you want to boot them into heaven?
No.
You see, today I'm not going to be diplomatic. Today I'm also not going to give you my opinion, because that's also dangerous. I'm not going to give you my opinion. Neither will I deliberately try to be controversial, right? So I'm not like the Americans where, you know, every second thing they say, it must be controversial, you know, otherwise it's not going to get enough likes. I'm not interested in how many likes or unlikes I do or don't get, right? So I'm not trying to be controversial, guys. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the truth of God's word. Finish and klar, full stop, exclamation mark, and that's it. Ena. You see, and just so there's no misunderstanding, there's nothing wrong with being diplomatic. And there's nothing wrong with being accommodating. There's also nothing wrong with us being tolerant and understanding. But please, here's where the rubber meets the road, and here's where you have to draw the line in the sand. Please make sure that in doing so, you do not compromise on the truth of God's word. I'll be as accommodating as you want me to be. I'll be as pleasant as you want me to be, but I will not compromise the integrity of the relationship that I have and the what's contained in his eternal word. I will not compromise it. Hallelujah. Point number two, there's no compromise when you choose to follow Jesus. That's point number two. There is no compromise when you decide, not when I decide for you. When you decide, when you choose to follow Jesus, there's no compromise. And I really want you to think about this, because it might be the case that when you initially made your decision to follow Jesus, this might have been your stance. But it might be that as time has gone by, you may not have maintained the stance. Does that make sense? So let's just self-evaluate as well. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21, reading from the NKJV, New King James Version. Nothing wrong with Old King James Version, but it's nice to be new also sometimes. Hallelujah. And Elijah came to all the people and said, because now we're going to be saying, and thus cameth Elijah and saith unto, it doesn't make sense, right? And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. And by the way, if you think that it's Baal, then follow him. Man, you know, sometimes these are the things we even as preachers, we get scared to say these things. But that time is over, guys. That time is over. If you say that Jesus is your Lord, let him be Lord of all. Then serve him wholeheartedly. Let him be God. Don't have other gods and semi-gods and demigods. And no, let God be God. And if you don't want Jesus to be Lord, then whatever else it is, let that thing be Lord. But don't nauseate him trying to live a duplicitous life where you're hot and you're cold and you're hot and you're cold and you're like a monkey on a hot fence. No, guys. No, 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 no. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come now, we're going there, right? Your pastor said I can go there. Amen. Proverbs 25:26. This time, let's look at it from the Amplified Bible. Hallelujah, we just mix it up a bit. Like a muddied fountain and a polluted spring is a righteous man who yields and compromises his integrity before the wicked. I'm sorry, guys. We're speaking about a righteous man. But we're speaking about a righteous man who, because of the setting that he's in, oh, now we're at work. Now it's the work after party. Oh, now I'm in a social setting. We're having a braai. We don't need to be all Jesus. I mean, Jesus for Sunday is okay, right? But now it's Saturday, right? We don't need to be all Jesus-y at the braai and be all weird. Oh, now it's a family reunion. I mean, they know that I serve Jesus. I don't have to be all John 3:16 on them. Like a muddied fountain. I wouldn't want to drink from a muddy fountain. or a polluted spring. I was going to say a word, but I think the facial expression does it all. Is a righteous man, not an unrighteous man, is a righteous man, but this man has compromised. He's compromised his integrity before the wicked. He's allowed himself to, he's lost the distinction, he's lost the understanding that you're in this world, but you're not of this world. James 4 and verse 4. You adulteresses, disloyal sinners, flirting with the world and breaking your vow to God. Woo! Do you not know that being the world's friend, that is loving the things of the world, is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Guys, whoever chooses, we're talking about choice. I choose Jesus. What do you choose? If you choose Jesus, then you can't want to still be flirting with the world. No, guys, no, no, no. That's why the people out there say, those church people. Yeah, on a Sunday, but you must see that one on a Friday. Why? Are you flirting with the world on Friday and coming and raising your hands on Sunday? Don't say anything. Oof. Point number three, let's just proceed to where we need to go to. Point number three, choosing Jesus means acting on God's word. If you say, I choose Jesus, then choosing Jesus means acting on God's word. James chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I'm going to pause for the cause. Guys, let me explain this in a sequence of events of how this works. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Yes? Are you with me? Right. So here you are right now. You are currently the illustration as you're sitting there right now. Right now I'm speaking the word of God and you're hearing. Right now, your faith is being built up, right? Some of you are just now going to come quarter dance here in the front because you're so excited, your faith is being built up. However, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. So if you sit there and if you hear the word and your faith is built up, but then you fold your arms and you do nothing else, thank you for deceiving yourself. Useless is all of that word and that faith because you now decided, you made a choice again, now you're going to fold your arms and you're going to do nothing. I've worked up a sweat for nothing. The sound guy was stressing. All for naught because you've decided, high shame. It was a nice word, but yeah, soccer is better. Formula One is better. Faith, without it is here. Let's continue. Right, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Right, for he observes himself, goes away, walks away from the mirror, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, in other words, into God's word, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Yeah. Guys, you just can't. You can't stand in front of the mirror. And by the way, this is gender neutral. It doesn't matter. Men, women, I've seen some guys standing in front of the mirror for hours, right? And then they do that. Where's the spray? Shh. Guys, not ladies, guys. And you gotta, you're the man. And then you look at yourself in the mirror, and then you walk away from the mirror, and you've completely forgotten what you just look like.
You see, God's word is a mirror to us. It shows us who we really are. It shows you who you really are. Now, you can't read God's word, look into the mirror of God's word, and have God expose certain things about you, areas of development, gaps in your character. And then you close the Bible and you forget every single thing that was revealed to you. We can't continue like that. Not if we want to get where we want to be and where we ought to be. Amen. James chapter 2, verse 17. So too faith, if it does not have works to back it up. I like the way the Amplified puts it in brackets. In other words, to back it up. If faith doesn't have works to back it up, then even faith by itself is dead. It's inoperative and it's ineffective. If there's no works to back it up, guys, we're not a sitting back and relaxing people of God. We are active doing people of God. There's got to be action connected to your faith. Hallelujah. Point number four. Choosing Jesus means being true to God's word. And these are connected, right? Point three and point four. So choosing Jesus means being true to God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, back to the New King James Version. You shall not add to the word. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. You shall not add to God's word, nor shall you take from it. Again, allow me just to pause for the cause. You do not have the editing license to take God's word and do with it what you want, to copy and paste, to take out the things that sting you too much and that you don't like reading these things, and then you just remove them at your leisure. No. God's word is not deficient. It doesn't lack anything. Stop adding to his word. You shall not add. You shall not subtract. You shall be true to God's word. God's words are spirit and life. His words are living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah, Jesus. They don't need your editing. You don't have to be creative about it. Take him at his word and apply his word as it is. And see him come through for you. Hallelujah. Luke 11 and verse 28. But he said, on the contrary, blessed, happy, favored by God are those who hear the word of God and continually observe it. You're observing the word of God. You're not observing your own version. There's many versions of the Bible. American Standard, English Standard, and so on. Amplified, New King James. I've been going through some of them. But I guarantee you're not going to find a version called your own version. It's not there. You can go on BibleGateway.com and look for it. Is there a version called your own version? No, you won't find it. You won't find it, guys. Observe his word. His unedited word. Don't add, don't subtract. Just observe his word. Luke chapter 8 and verse 21. But he answered, this is Jesus speaking. My mother and my brothers are these who listen to the word of God and do it. Remember I told you point 3 and point 4 are connected, right? We carry out his word. We observe his word. We are doing church. We've got to apply action to the word. Hallelujah. We're moving. Every other day, just about every other day, it's probably actually every day, but every other day at least, I find myself having this conversation with Jude. Jude? Yes, Daddy. Jude, did you do what Daddy asked you to do? Daddy? Jude, listen to me nicely, boy. Did you do what Daddy asked you to do? Daddy? Jude? Jude, did you hear what Daddy said? First of all, did you hear what Daddy said? Yeah, Daddy. So did you do what Daddy asked you to do? Daddy? Every day. Circular. It's like an endless, it's like a loop you can't get out of, right? Every day. But guys, let's just pause for a moment. How many words has God spoken directly into your life? Directly, I mean, it felt like someone shooting an arrow at you. It felt like he was quoting your ID number back to you. You knew, you know that you know. Even as you sit here today, you still know that that was God speaking to me, telling me something, giving me an instruction. Have you done what Daddy asked you to do? Or are you still saying, Daddy? Daddy, what now, Daddy? Now there are, I'm not going to stand here and say there aren't a few instances where it's good to keep your options open, right? Because there are a few instances when this is maybe not the worst advice, right? I remember when I was at varsity and I was doing my first year, just about everybody who I spoke to about doing my first year, first semester said, you know what, Stuart, you know, just keep your options open. You think you know what you want, but the truth is, you've never done philosophy 101. It's going to be your first time, right? So keep your options open. You've never done political science 101. Until you're actually sitting in the lecture, you actually don't know really what this is about, right? So try to have as many electives as possible. Just keep an open mind. Keep your options open so you don't get stuck in one thing and then you're not happy, right? I mean, that's not bad advice. It's good to, in that kind of setting, it's good to keep your options open, right? When it comes to starting a business venture, right? If you're anything like me, when God drops a God idea into your heart for a business venture, you're not going to be able to contain yourself, right? You're going to be like, yo, Pastor Mike, I must tell you. So God told me about this thing, and yo, it's going to take off. Yo, Pastor Mike, yo, just wait. And I'm going to go to someone else. Yo, dude, yo, you must just say. Now, it's a good idea. It's not a bad idea. Let me rather put it. It's not a bad idea to avoid, you know, the first person that jumps on the bandwagon and says, yeah, I want to be your business partner. Yeah, let's do this, my bro. Yeah. You know, that might be a situation where you want to, you know, just put pause and keep your options open and maybe even pray about it and say, Lord, is this guy, he seems very excited, but is he the right business partner for me? Is she the right person to go into this business venture with me? Right? So again, good to keep your options open. When it comes to matters of the heart, especially in your younger years, you know, your teenage / young adult years, right? I know some of the teenagers thought I was about to say you must keep your options open and date as many. No. I got you, Shadi. I got you. It's good to keep your options open when it comes to matters of the heart when you're at that tender age. You know why? You're easily infatuated. And you confuse what you think is love, but it's actually just infatuation. So it's actually good to keep your options open. And by options, I mean rather focus on option A, which is your studies. Rather focus on option B, which might be a sport that you're currently into. Rather focus on option C, which might be your career development path. Maybe focus on a gap year where you give a year of your life to Jesus. I'm just saying there's other options out there. Don't fall for the first guy that buys you a chomp. Have you seen those things? I don't know why they still make those things. Why do they still make chomps, guys? It's the most uninviting chocolate I've ever seen in my whole life. Right now, the guy gives you a chomp on Valentine's Day. No, man. Come on. A lens, maybe, but now chomp. However, all kidding aside, when it comes to who I call Lord, when it comes to who I call King, Savior, Redeemer, Comforter, Prince of Peace, Yahweh, Redeemer, Healer Divine, I'm not, I cannot, I will not, I refuse to keep my options open. There's only one option for me, and His name is Jesus. All streams do not lead to the same ocean. I don't know which weird religion that is that says, we're all serving the same God and all rivers. It doesn't. Jesus is the way. Amen. Finished. That's the end of the story. Amen. So, point number 5. Choose who you will serve. Yes. Choose who you will serve.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I think we've covered this, guys. You can't serve two masters. You're going to upset someone. You can't. You can't be hot and cold. A combination of hot water and cold water makes lukewarm water. And lukewarm water, try to drink it. It's the most nauseating thing. It will make you gag. And that's exactly what you do. You become something volatile in the system of God, and he has to spew you out. You can't take it anymore. This compromising lifestyle that you seem to want to lead. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked, young lady, young man, with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? How can you put these two in the same category? How can you put right living and right standing with God in the same box as iniquity and lawlessness? You can't, guys. You can't. Doesn't matter what your argument is, you can't. It won't work. Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? If this place right now was pitch dark, I mean dark, where even if you put your hand in front of your face, you can't see your own hand. When someone hits the switch and the lights come on, darkness scatters. Darkness flees. They cannot coexist with each other. How can light have fellowship with darkness? It can't. That's the answer. It can't. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods, lowercase g, small g. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods, small g, your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, I'm letting you know my choice. I'm making you aware of my decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You decide for yourself. And by the way, this is the, you know, young people like to ask, especially when you've just given your heart to the Lord. Young people, I also ask the question, but now what about my old friends? What about my old buddies? What about my crew? We will ride or die. Why are you riding and dying together? Who wins there in the first place? But now what about my buddies? What about my crew? What about my homies? Right? This is the conversation you have, a Joshua 24 verse 14 to verse 15 conversation with them. You say, guys, I got lots of love for you. We've been ride or die, but now, I've made a decision and I'm serving the Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. You can decide if you still want to do the things that you were doing. I'm not throwing you away, but I'm saying two can't walk together unless they agree. And I'm letting you know my standpoint. My standpoint is, as for me and my house, we've decided we're serving the Lord. So as a teenager, as a youngster, as a young adult, I've made the decision. I'm leaving that stuff behind. No more. So when there's a spree, please don't come past my house. Don't come collect me. When you guys are joyriding, drive past my house. You know where I live. 6 Kudu Place, Eastwood Peter, Maritzburg. Don't come. In any event, my house is there where a cul-de-sac is. Now you guys are going to have to do a U-turn just to go to the club. Don't come looking for me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore you shall choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Again, a continuation of the conversation I've just had with my chomis. Listen, guys, it's clear to me. There was a choice to make. The choice was between life and death, blessing and curse, and I chose life. I chose life not only for myself, but for my kids and my children's children and my children's children to come, generations to come.
That's the choice I made. I chose Jesus. Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. Are you with me this morning? Point number 6. When you choose Jesus, you yourself become chosen. I picture this school ground setting where, you know, where the kids are picking sides. It's either netball or it's either soccer, right? Those are the two most popular sports in a government school. Anyway, that's the school I went to, right? So we were either playing, the girls were playing netball, the boys were playing soccer, right? But then you have that moment where you're picking sides, right? I pick Naledi. I pick Sophie. I pick Cabello. I pick Stuart, right? And nobody wants you to be picked last, right? You don't want to be chosen last. I got good news for you. When you choose Jesus, you become part of the chosen. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession. Hallelujah. So that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Choosing Jesus means you become chosen. Hallelujah. Do you know? Are you aware that at one point in Pastor Michael's life, he made a choice? Probably the best decision he's ever made in his life, if you ask him. Because he saw Pastor Fadzai walking by. And he said, girl, I choose you. And you know what happened? The story didn't end there. Pastor Fadzai looked at him and she said, you seem to have your story together. So guess what, boy? I choose you too. Now when you make the choice, you also become the chosen. Don't they look beautiful? Come on, guys. Point number 7. We're going quickly now. This is my last point. It's number 7. 7 signalizes perfection, so it's on the money. Choosing Jesus is choosing life. Choosing Jesus is choosing life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Remember the verse before this. I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, how does that work? How do I get the gift of God? This gift of eternal life. I get the gift of eternal life by making Jesus my Lord. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not outside of Christ Jesus. You only get that eternal gift of life when you choose Jesus. If you could ask Lazarus who Jesus is to him, he would most likely tell you that to him Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And you'll find it in John 11, verse 43 to verse 44. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes. Now, I don't have the time, but you can figure this out for yourself. If his legs were bound, still with the grave clothes, right? You with me, right? And if his head, they say his face was wrapped with a cloth, right? Bound hand and foot. He wasn't walking out. He didn't walk out. He didn't walk out, guys. The power of Jesus Christ drew him out. Drew him out. Pulled him out of death. And pulled him out of that tomb. And then Jesus said, sort him out. Loose him and let him go. Untie him. He can go now. He's alive. He's not dead anymore. If you could ask the woman with the issue of blood who Jesus is to her, she would tell you that he is the healer divine. Luke chapter 8 verse 43 and verse 47. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years. I can spend another 30 minutes on that. Who had spent all her livelihood, everything she had, on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border or the hem of Jesus' garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, but master, there's multitudes of people around you and everybody's pressing up against you. How can you say who touched you? Right? I'm just summarizing quickly. Verse 46, but Jesus said, hey guys, don't play with me. Somebody touched me because I perceived power has gone out of me. Now, when the woman saw that she was about to be exposed, there was no place to hide, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus, and she declared to him in the presence of all the people, witnesses, hallelujah, testimony, testifying the reason why she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. So in closing, I now put to you the question that Jesus put to the disciples. Who do you say Jesus is? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to verse 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, but what about you? What about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What? Who do you say he is? Because if you get the answer right, guys, this is where I'm landing, this is where I'm closing. If you get the answer right, if you call him Lord, if you call him Savior, if you call him Messiah, the Son of the living God, then anything you say to be bound here on earth will be bound in heaven. Anything you speak and you declare to be loosed here on earth will be loosed in heaven. What blessing, what favor are you waiting to be loosed? Speak it and loose it here on earth, and God will loose it in heaven, and it will be loosed over your life. What sickness, what illness, what strife are you wanting to bind up? Bind it. Speak the words. The key is, who do you say he is? Before you can get to loosing things and binding things, you've got to make a decision. Who do you say he is? If you say he's Lord, then the world is your oyster. You can loose and bind as you like. Hallelujah. Because it's not in your own name. It comes with the authority, the office of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We were singing King of Glory. You know what's the difference between Jesus as king and any other king? Kings come and go. They die. They are replaced. Their reign comes to an end and a new king comes up. They get overthrown. Not our king. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his rule and his reign will never come to an end. Who do you say he is? Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike.